It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Nothing more important nor more joyful than to know the Lord Jesus and walk after Him. I'd like for you to join me in the study of the precious Word today. We're in the book of Philippians, and we're going to read from verse 7, Philippians chapter 3, verse 7. And we're going to read all the way down to the 14th verse. I want to get that all together for you. Philippians chapter 3, beginning to read with verse 7 to 14. And while you're looking that up in your Bibles that you can follow along, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street, and we're just one block north of the Dairy Queen off the highway. And so please get a chance, come and visit us. We'd love to see you, love to hear from you. We love studying the Word of God. Now, if you have your Bibles ready, we're going to read today from the 7th verse, Philippians chapter 3, verse 7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ, and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth into those things which are before. I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Beautiful verses of Scripture. Let's go with the Lord in prayer before we begin. Father, I thank You today that we can come and enjoy Your power and presence. It's just a glorious time that we have and a sweet opportunity that we have that we can study Your Word. I thank You for this time, this opportunity that we have here on the radio that we can come and visit and fellowship. And Father, I don't know many of the listeners, the folks that have been faithful to listen, but I ask that You would help them in the Word, that they would find You as their Savior, and we know that You will find You at the cross of Calvary, and then they'll begin that walk, and this Bible study will just be a small part of that walk, just another sweet time of fellowship. Father, You know how important the local church, and You have given us the local church, and so please that we are there to hear Your Word of God and study Your Word, but that this may be an additional study, something to help us grow just a little bit more towards You, to be holy and separated for You, that we may walk with You. Now, Father, these verses of Scripture, I ask that You'll just touch our hearts with them and change our lives, set them before us that we may be so clear and walk so quickly in service to You. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We do enjoy the Word of God. We love studying the Word of God. But I think we need to understand Paul here in verse 7, by the leadership of the Holy Spirit, places these words, "But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ." You know, if we would go back and look at the time when Paul was saved, when he met the Lord Jesus on the road to Damascus, Paul was going to, in the process of great persecution to the church, to believers in the Lord Jesus. He would go after folks that proclaimed Christ, folks that were witnessing to other folks. He would go after them. If you confess to be a Christian, and a Christian is a person that is Christ-like. Now today we abuse that word Christian terrible. It's terrible how we abuse that, because we do not live the Christian life. And when we say that, yes, I am a Christian, you better understand what you're saying. You are testifying that I am Christ-like. Now, is that true? Now, Paul hated the church, hated Christians. Now, what would ever turn Paul's mind and heart around that he would make a statement here in verse 7, but what things were gained to me, those I count loss for Christ? How would a man turn about and make such a change? You know, a lot of people today, when they get discouraged with a certain church that they're attending, they decide that it's time to hunt for another church. And so they leave that certain church and they maybe stay in the community and they go church hopping. They go from one church to another. And if they would change from one denomination to another denomination, and then they feel a little more comfortable with the doctrines and the teachings of this other denomination, and so they kind of settle in there. That's not what Paul's talking about here. That's not what happened to Paul. Paul didn't leave the Baptist church and go to the assembly, or he didn't leave the Presbyterian church and go to the Methodist, or leave the Presbyterian church and go to the Baptist, or he didn't do that. But too often people decide it's time for a change, and they change the religious circle that they're a part of. They go from one denomination to another, or maybe just from one church to another church in the same denomination, and feel like that's what I want. Now, I like that preacher better. He does a better job, and he's so much clearer than the other preacher was, and he doesn't harp about money so much, and he doesn't expect me to be there every time the church doors open, so I'm more comfortable with that. That's not what Paul is talking about. And that kind of a situation did not change Paul's heart from hating the church, hating Christians, to being one himself, and then being able to set everything aside and saying, I count everything lost. I will give, and Paul did, gave everything up to walk after Jesus Christ and be of a good testimony and be a proclaimer of the gospel of Christ. To tell people, Jesus saves. To tell people, repent, turn about, turn unto the way of Christ today and be saved. Would you meet Jesus at the cross of Calvary? I can see Paul walking down this old dirty road and he'd run into somebody and he says, do you know Jesus? The Jesus of Nazareth. Do you know Jesus? Do you know the Jesus that went to the cross and was crucified? Have you heard that he's alive? He's out of that grave. He came out of that grave on Sunday morning. Have you heard? I'm here to introduce you to that God-man, to Christ Jesus. Will you meet him at the cross? Because that's where he offered his life for yours, and that's where you need to meet him. Would you come to the cross of Calvary and be saved? That's what Paul would talk about. Paul would go way back to many times that he met many people, had many opportunities to give his testimony of what happened. And often through the Scripture, he goes all the way back to how he persecuted the church, criticized the church, complained about the church, and then all of a sudden, something happened. Did Paul go from the Presbyterian church over to the Methodist church and all of a sudden he saw the light and that was the change? I don't think so. Paul became a Christian by meeting the person, Jesus Christ. You need to become a Christian, not by changing churches, not by being proud of the name on your church door, or the denomination you're a part of. But you need to be a Christian and stand with the name and in the name of Christ. And the only way we can do that and be a part of that is to come to know Jesus. This person, Jesus, God, man, came down on this earth, born of a virgin, Virgin Mary, lived here for 33 years, at the close of his life, he was hung on a cross. in every sin that man, woman, and child has ever, ever committed was laid upon his shoulders. He was brutally beaten before that. He was spit upon. And then they took him out to Calvary. And they placed that old cross in the ground and nailed him to it. And there he died, with the load of every sin upon him. Well, by that offering of his life, by that sacrifice, the death of that sacrifice, the death of the Lord Jesus, your sin was taken care of. But he tells us that it's a free gift. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We're also told in Romans chapter 10 that for whosoever confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead shall be saved. It's a heart problem. And you need to come to Jesus and be saved. Paul met Jesus. He met him on the road to Damascus. And he come to know the very man, God man, the one that he was persecuting, the one that he was arresting, the people that proclaimed his name, those folks he arrested and put to death. He held the cloak of Stephen when Stephen was stoned to death. He gave the approval of the death of Stephen, a saint, a preacher of the Word of God. Paul was there, but he was there as a persecutor, as one that was trying to put down and put away those Christians. And now he is one. What can change a man's life so miraculously? It sure isn't any church. It sure isn't the doctrine of any church. The only way you can change, the only way you can have real life, and that life is in Jesus, is to come to know Jesus. I ask today that you examine your heart and you come to know the Lord Jesus. That you too can add to your list now. Not that you would sacrifice for your church or something, but you'll sacrifice for Christ. You do it in the name of Jesus. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Any accomplishment, that's what we talked about last week, all the list of the accomplishments. He had circumcised the eighth day, stock of Israel, tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, touching the law, I'm a Pharisee. That's in verse 5. Wasn't much left. Paul had it all and had nothing. Paul's saying in verse 7, I'll give it all away that I can have someone and walk after someone. And that person's Jesus. When are you going to start turning around from the way you live and the things you do? The things that seem so important that cause you to be upset? When are you going to begin to see how important it is to come to Jesus and have real life? And if you are a believer, it's time for you to straighten up and get your eyes upon Jesus. Walk by His strength and His power. Oh, I praise God. He's forgiven me. He has saved me. And He has set me free. And I praise Him for it. And yes, I mess up. And yes, I continue to make mistakes. But I come to Him on my knees and I say, God, would You please forgive me? And He doesn't bring salvation back to me because, you see, I don't lose my salvation. I met Jesus back in 1975. And I can take you to the very place where I knelt down and asked Jesus to come into my heart. And it was halfway between the house and the Pharaoh house. That's where I met Jesus. Yes, no farmer can meet Jesus. So can a storekeeper. So can a factory worker. So can a doctor. So can a lawyer. So can a housewife. So can a secretary. Anybody, if you'll turn your heart to Jesus, can be saved. Man, woman, or child that you're listening today, whatever your profession, whatever you do, whatever you do, maybe you've stolen. Maybe you've murdered. What have you done? Maybe you're
a young girl that's had an abortion, you've murdered that child. You want freedom? You want forgiveness? You want some kind of peace or joy back in your heart? Well, I've got the perfect gift for you. And that gift is Jesus. Paul can stand here with all his mighty power as far as the world is concerned. He can stand there and he can say, it is nothing. It's nothing in comparison with the joy and the power and the peace that I hold. Now, what are you going to hold on to? Because Jesus saved me and Jesus is keeping me. But I can damper that joy. I can stop that excitement by just holding a grudge, just holding something against somebody, not forgiving them, and that joy will leave you. Why would you do that? Jesus is handing you the joy and the power and the strength. Why would you take it away? Paul sure didn't. Paul looked at everything as gain in Christ and loss. Well, anything he lost was nothing. When Paul met Jesus, his life changed. My friend, when I met Jesus, my life changed. That doesn't mean I'm perfect. I never will be till I get in the presence of Jesus. But I'm telling you that when I do miss him, he's there to care for me and to love me and to pick me up, to set me back on the road. Paul's purpose was to tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. He found out that nothing satisfied. When Paul met Jesus, he found out that Jesus Christ was everything. It met every need of his soul. Now, if you've got something missing today, it's because you're harboring something. You're holding something back. You're not giving it all to Jesus. Don't try to do it without coming to Jesus as your Savior first. You must meet Jesus and be saved. Please, you have to trust in him. You know, if we trust in Jesus, there's nothing in the flesh that'll satisfy. When we meet Jesus and we begin to walk after the Lord Jesus, there's nothing else that matters. First of all, seek ye the kingdom of heaven, and everything else will be added to it. You see, the relationship between family members, friends, all those things are necessary and wonderful. But first of all, you have to take care of this relationship between you and Jesus. If you don't know Jesus, you have no relationship with anyone else. You may have acquaintances, but you don't have a relationship. You don't have a joy and a peace. But if you know Jesus, and you set your eyes upon the Lord Jesus, then it builds all these sweet relationships. We begin to walk after him. Everything that Paul knew in the past, he counted but loss. Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus. Is that how important Jesus is to you? I said at the very beginning, to say that you're a Christian is to be Christ-like. Paul was Christ-like. He wanted to have a witness and a testimony of Jesus Christ. He wanted to be Christ-like. Do you want to be Christ-like? Then first of all, come to Jesus. Now begin to walk after the Lord Jesus. And stop counting things of this world and this life more important than Jesus. Because you're taking away your joy and your peace. Place Jesus first. Seek him first. And everything else will be added. Don't worry about everything else. We got it all turned around. We try to take care of things that we think we want and think we need, and we're not willing to give them up in the name of the Lord Jesus. And all the time, if we'll seek Jesus first, he wants to give those things to us. Yea, doubtless, verse 8, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. How much did Paul compromise? How much did Paul give up for Jesus? What was given up for Jesus? It appears to be everything. In Paul's joy and power in his heart and his life and his mind is greater than ever before. Paul is so excited. And yet if you'll look back in verse 5, we'll find that to the world, Paul had everything. But now he counts that as nothing. That's what happens, my friend, when you meet Jesus. Now, I don't want you any longer to continue to make excuses for not coming to the Lord Jesus. I don't want you to continue to make excuses for that happiness and that joy that's not there. You need to begin this walk, this separated holy walk after the Lord Jesus. You can do that by studying His Word. You can come to Jesus by just listening to these words right now. Whosoever confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead shall be saved. Will you trust in Jesus? With your mind and your heart, turn to the Lord Jesus, repent of your wicked ways, and ask Jesus into your heart. Meet Jesus personally. Walk after. Please, will you do that? I don't care what church you go to, where you go to. The Holy Spirit will straighten your heart out and your life out. I don't know where you're going to end up going to church after you come to know Jesus. But you need to know Jesus, and you need to know Him now. The time is short. You need to come to the Lord Jesus. Between verse 7 and verse 8, I believe that there was probably a lot of years. What things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, I count all things. You know, that kind of a statement we don't come up with right away, do we? Right after we're saved, it takes us a little while before we can say those things. Matter of fact, there's a lot of people that never get to that point. They never realize that Jesus wants to give them everything that they need. But we try to hang on to everything we think we need, and in turn we shortchange Jesus. We give Him the leftovers. We don't give Him what's first. We give Him what's second or thirds or fourths or nothing if we don't have time. We do not realize the need that we have, as the Word of God tells us, to seek ye first the kingdom of God. Paul found this out. When Paul met Jesus, Paul's desire was he get to know this man, Jesus. And so he set out with his life, by the power of the Holy Spirit that was in his heart, to begin to know this man, Jesus. And the closer he walked with Jesus, the more he realized that nothing he had ever had in the past, or anything of this world, would ever be more important than Jesus. I know an awful lot of folks that confess to be Christians that are miserable, because they have not sought first the kingdom of God. Now maybe you've been trying this whole thing backwards all along. Well, it's time to change your ways. It's time to begin to walk and seek after the Lord Jesus. Look unto His way and will and follow it. And again, first of all, you have to meet Jesus at the cross. Don't try to just jump on the train as it's moving down the line. You need to get to know Jesus as your Savior. Ask Him into your heart. Paul, the love that Paul felt for Christ, there was nothing like it. Living for the Lord Jesus in Paul's heart, Paul's mind, and Paul's life, there was nothing worthy of doing or of having that would ever touch the joy and the power and the presence that he had in Jesus. And when I speak of power, I'm not talking about a selfish, self-righteous power. We find down in verse 9 it says, "And be found in him not having mine own righteousness." Paul did not look at himself as having any righteousness, any power, any strength. Everything that he had, he received from the Lord. And you see, then anything that was not directly given to him from the Lord Jesus, was not worthy of having. Was sure not necessary. And so he just set everything before him and says, here, I count everything as dung, as refuge, the last part of verse 8 says. I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them as dung, that I may win Christ. Oh, not that he was working his way to heaven. That's not what that's saying. He wanted to be just like Jesus. And the strength and the power that he has is a God-given power. Is a God-given strength. A strength that gives us and allows us to walk through this old filthy world holy and separated. A power and a strength that watches people that are burdened down with their sin. Burdened down. They're so taken by the burdens of the world. And you see the frowns on their faces. You see the burden in their eyes. My friend, I want you to come to Jesus. And if you are a Christian and you know Jesus, will you please put Jesus first? Seek Him first. And stop trying to work all these other things out. They'll all come. All the needs you ever have will be taken care of. And you know, there's even going to be some wants that I believe Jesus will take care of. He wants us to be joyful and to happy, but not when our joy and happiness is linked to those things. We must seek Him first. We must walk after Him. The years of growth, from the time that you recognize and you realize that everything in my heart and life should be if it's not of Christ, it should be of nothing. No value, no concern. I'm not worried about it. That's the way it should be. And then to go on and get to the point that we can say, yeah, doubt, I count all things loss. You know, there's two different ways to do this. You know, one is to know it, and the other is to live it. I know a lot of things, but Jesus is still growing me, bringing me to the point that I'm living it. For me to say, yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus. Oh, that I could know Jesus Christ. Everything could go. You know, that's a few years down the walk in a Christian's life, isn't it? That we can say that. But my friend, I sure enjoy walking after Jesus. And I sure have a joy in my heart. All the things that go on in a day's time and a year's time. And it breaks my heart when I see folks that are so sad. Because I know what He's brought me through. And I know how He continues to grow and bring His love into my heart. To bring that peace. To have it present in my heart and life. Verse 9, I be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Will you come to know my friend today, my friend Jesus? I have friends, I have sweet friends, but no greater friend than Jesus. I'd love for you to come to know Him today, that you can have that same friendship, knowing your sins are forgiven and He brings joy into your heart. My friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?